Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 18th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Welcome to those joining us live and welcome to those listening to the archives. We always appreciate you joining us however you can. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, now on to tonight's topic, cultivating intimate relationships.
Well, you know, I'd like to start off by just segueing from last week's program of cultivating friendships and relationships. And in light of that, Michael, congratulations on your new little buddy, Ollie.
Oh, thank you.
That's a relationship, one that you have for the lifetime of your new retriever. That's so awesome. He's 3 months old. He's beautiful. I saw him on Skype. Oh, man.
Yeah. Beautiful. I got a new golden retriever puppy. And you can't ask for a love more pure than that from a puppy. I'll tell you that.
Well, and that's very true. You know, I've been an animal freak for my life. And we learned something about honesty and there isn't any mind games with an animal, you know?
Well, it is, I mean, it is cats, what it is. But
cats, they play mind games with us, so that's that. But I'm just saying it's straight up. It's honest, and it's true. And, you know, this relationship that you're going to be cultivating and already are cultivating with Ollie, it's really a special, unique place. I know Dr. Jeff, everybody in the chat room, I think, has a dog, but Dr. Jeff has a very special relationship with, you know, his special needs dog who helps him out. And I'm not sure what you call that kind of service dog, sorry.
Exactly.
That's a better way of putting it. And Jeff only got his dog a couple of months ago, and they've been cultivating their relationship. And I see posts online about, you know, it's evolving, and they're still learning about each other and finding that place of comfort. And I think we do that with any animal, but it's way different than with human beings, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an entirely different dimension of complexity. There's so many more variables. There's so many more things to consider. Human communication, human language, body language, tone of voice, the words that we use, the context of those words, the context of our actions, all of this adds so many different layers of things that we're all thinking about constantly. And because of the inherent, well, the inherent difficulty of life and the fact that frankly, you can't always trust people all the time. It makes it difficult to have an intimate relationship sometimes. It makes it difficult to trust the way that you can trust an animal, the way that we trust our dogs, and the way that, yes, we even trust our cats to an extent. That kind of trust is a little bit more difficult to have, and the more, you know, the more close the relationship, the more important that trust is to a solid foundation, a critical component. Yeah. It is impossible to have a healthy relationship without it. And when you get into those intimate relationships, those romantic partnerships, those life partners that you have, that is a level of trust that exceeds almost any other. I think it even exceeds probably, you know, familial bonds in many cases.
You know, it's really difficult to talk about intimate relationships without first addressing what kind of relationship do you want, and what does intimacy mean to you? Do you want somebody just to fill a need? Or do you really want a partnership that has some depth to it, that you can come home and that's your friend?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where your first loyalty is. I have met men and women who put the family first. It's the relationship and the family first, which is extraordinary. But I got to tell you, that's a pretty small percentage of the people I have known in the last, let's say, 20 years, because it's all changed, right? It's how do you get to know people, and what do you expect from people? See, when we come, and I'm going to go here, when we become kind of a narcissistic society, you know, I think there was a little backlash in the self-esteem movement that it became all about me. What do I need? What do I need? Instead of what can I also give? You know, how do I serve? Well, how do I best serve this place between us? And what is the interaction between us? You know,
yeah.
That's where I'm going to go first.
Well, I think it's a good direction to go in. And I think any narcissism is reprehensible unless you're talking about me, in which case people really should be using me as the center of their existence. I mean, I'm the center of my existence. Isn't that... I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent. I'm sorry, Dr. Hunter, you go ahead.
No, that's a good one, Michael. Well, that's what I appreciate about this program. We can have fun with it at the same time of talking about these really serious topics. And so here's what I expect. Now, I'm going to say this, what I expect out of a relationship. Now, let me first qualify this with a preface, I should say, that I am single, have been single for a number of years. I prefer it that way. That's my preference at this stage of my life. That is not to say I'm not open to the possibility, but I have different ideals and standards, and I think that changes over time, right?
Absolutely.
When you're younger, and a lot of my clients are young people, And I find that hormones rule, first of all, and that need to be with somebody, the need to feel loved, the need to be loved. And my observation in that, and I've done it myself, is to be in love with the idea of somebody rather than the actual of somebody.
Absolutely.
Big difference.
Yeah, and I will say this. I have very much experienced that, being in love with the idea of somebody as opposed to the reality of who they are. Mm-hmm. And when you're young and inexperienced in life, you don't always know the difference between what is real and what is fictitious.
True.
Because the emotions are so intense. I was listening to a podcast with Conan O'Brien where he said basically every teenager should have, you know, they always have such dramatic moments, and it's like this for everybody, but they have these dramatic moments that if it was a TV show, it would be raining, there would be dramatic music playing, and a camera, you know, pulling up from the sky as they looked up and wailed in misery, because every teenager has that. And even into your young adulthood, you know, those early relationships, they have such a weight, such an impact. It feels like that first love is the only one, and if it doesn't go well, then everything's ruined for the rest of your life.
I must say, though, that first love, when you are a teenager, is so pure And it's so euphoric, but it's so giving and so like unfettered in a way that you want that again and again. I'm sure it's like doing drugs, right? You want to get that same high. And I have talked with countless women about this very thing of wanting to be in love that way again. And I remind them that'll never happen again.
Right. Well,
because when you're young,
not
your hormones, your hormones are brand new. Your emotions are brand new. That freedom to be is brand new. Everything is brand new.
I will tell you this, and this comes back to the only way that you can have true love in a truly intimate relationship is with trust. Mm. Especially with where my life was at when I was a teenager, I had no trust for anybody. You know, kept people at arm's length. So when I was a teenager, I had crushes. I liked girls. You know, I would go out, but I never allowed myself to get close enough. It wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I even really knew what that real feeling of love was, that real kind of passion was.
So you were delayed.
Yeah. I kept everybody at arm's length. It wasn't until I, you know, got a little bit older, I came out of my shell and stopped being such an introvert.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, everyone has their own development, so to speak. Ronaldo is making a comment in the chat room. He recommends Highly Dangerous Loves by Walter Riso. And great reading for anyone entertaining getting into a new intimate relationship. Thanks for that, Ronaldo. People can check that out. I think that the intimacy and the types of intimacy people look for are very different. But everyone, and I'll repeat this, everyone wants to feel connected to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There is a spirit inside of us that wants to feel acknowledged. It wants to feel comfortable, relaxed, and share life. We're social animals. We're social beings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there is that part. So it, no matter what stage you're at, you know, there's that companionship, that friendship, that connectedness everyone is looking for. No matter what kind of garbage comes out of their mouth, they're looking for that. But the thing is, how do you manifest that? Because I'm a firm believer that we decide how love is going to act. You know, love will conquer all stuff means nonsense to me. We decide how love is going to behave.
Well, since we're talking about nonsensical cliche statements, you said love conquers all. And you know, love can conquer some things, but not all.
No.
And you know what? Another one I hate hearing is opposites attract.
Not true.
Oof, no. I mean, just because one person likes football and one person likes, you know, romance movies, and, you know, one person does this a little bit this way, or one person, you know, does things a little bit different, so they kind of complement each other. Well, okay, the surface cosmetic things are a little bit different that you're pointing out, but it is the core of who you are. That opposites attracting is not a reality.
No.
And if you have two different energy signatures, if you have different, you know, energy vibrations that you're putting out into the world, then you're not going to be compatible, and you shouldn't try to force something to work.
Well, there's got to be a frequency that's gelling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two people can be very different dynamics and have different dispositions.
Sure.
That makes them appear opposite, but inside there's a frequency that one is attracting to another at that level, or the relationship wouldn't be there at all.
Exactly.
It connected at some level.
In the modern age, anyway. I mean, honestly, it's only in the relatively modern age that we have relationships where we talk about love, where we talk about, you know, choosing a partner, as opposed to it being, you know, political, or it being part of, you know, a cultural, you know, arranged marriages and things like that.
Which, no knock those. I've seen some arranged marriages. I've had clients in arranged marriages. And there, I'll tell you, it's the most honest relationships I've ever seen, and the happiest families. So I'm not going to knock those. I think that if people are agreeable to that,
right,
then they go in with a certain devotion to what they are creating. So I, you know, I'm kind of careful when it comes to people being critical of arranged marriages, because I've seen too many of them work and well, do really well.
Here's and, another, well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that about Ronaldo has made a comment in the chat, and we'll get to that in a second. So go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, I have friends. One specifically comes to mind whose parents were, you know, arranged. They, she was from South Asia, and it's the custom, and especially at the time. And, you know, they've had a long marriage together, and I think that that's great. I've also, through her, heard of encounters where it didn't go well. But then again, people choose partners, and it doesn't go well. So, you know, it's just one of those things. But I would hate the idea of being forced into something I didn't want to do. Being told that this is what you're going to do and you don't have a choice in it. But I also want to control as much around me as I can, so that's a personal flaw of mine.
Well, that again, we're back to what is an intimate relationship. Well, so we're all defining that intimacy a little differently.
And I would,
whether it's cultural or, you know what I'm saying, Michael.
Yeah, yeah. And the last thing I'll say on this kind of arranged marriage topic is I don't think there's just one person out there for everybody. I think there are a lot of people out there that we could have a wonderful relationship with, but one of the key ingredients to forming an intimate relationship and forming a close bond is time and shared experience. Love grows over time if it's healthy. The experiences you share make that person unique, that irreplaceable. And I think in some of these arranged marriages, it does. It works out that way. People are, you know, the expectations are at a level where nobody's expectations are being missed, and they share experience over time. You begin to be more accustomed with the people that you're with, and it's shared experience. It's sharing this life with somebody. That is what builds love. At first, it's infatuation and crushes, and, you know, you're attracted to the idea of a person, like you had said earlier. We all are attracted to the idea of a person initially because we don't know them truly and well enough to know it. We pick up on their vibe. We pick up on their energy. We pick up on their behaviors and how they act and maybe their interests and things. And
or what we need at the moment.
Yeah, what we need at the moment. And it starts the process, but it is not the end of the process.
Well, Jamil has said, pardon me, Ronaldo, hang on, I'm going back here through the chat. Ronaldo says, we all yearn for love, especially intimacy, and not necessarily sexual intimacy. Really important, everybody. That's what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that physicality of it. It's the spirituality of it and the friendship and that feeling, like, put it this way, feeling like that you are really special to somebody. That's, and I think making somebody feel special, like that's your partner. That's your first priority. So Jamil is reminding us, Dr. Kelly says, to think in terms of healthy and unhealthy energy signatures, like vibrations attract each other. Yeah, we touched on that a little bit. Dr. Stephen is saying relationship as other, as love seems to be the drive for self-completeness, as imagined what completeness should be. So there's a couple of things in there I'd like to make mention. Each of us in this journey towards self-completeness and knowing who you are and feeling though you can't be complete without somebody else is kind of misleading in a way, but in my view. But you feel even more complete when you do have somebody to share your life with. And you resonate with and you're in that intimate place with because you feel more whole and you feel like your life is fuller. It doesn't mean somebody's making you feel complete. You just, your life feels more complete, if that makes sense.
Well, and it's, you know, it is part of being the human animal too. We, in, everybody's different and every animal is different in terms of their individualized behavior, but we really do. We want to be the most important person to somebody. We want to have that closeness. We don't want to be alone. Nobody wants to be lonely. And
me,
that's,
I do.
Well, in a way, but you're not in the sense that, you know, you have a family that you yes. have intimate relationships with. You have friends. So,
well, I can comfortably say I have succeeded, and I guess I want to explain this to the audience. I have fulfilled everything in my life in those ways that I dreamed to do. I have been in love, and I have fulfilled that love experience. My great love of my life passed away a few years ago. We didn't make it in a relationship, but we were the best of friends for many years until he passed. And knowing that I have touched that place and being in that place is enough for me. So I don't feel like I'm lacking anything or I've been deprived. My old friend Alice, who was Magda, my mentor's best friend, she had been married, had four kids, and in 1967, her husband died in a car crash. Now, I carried on a friendship with Alice for many, many years. She only passed about 10 years ago. And I asked her why she never got married again. And she said, well, I almost did a few times, but when you've had the best, everyone else pales.
Yeah.
See, so, and I understood that as I got older, that you're not yearning for something because you've already had it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think if somebody hasn't felt loved and hasn't experienced that, you're going to yearn for it. And I think that's a very natural thing to do, in my view.
Absolutely.
And but how do you nurture? How do you nurture an intimate relationship in this day and age, Michael? What's the key? What are those key points to nurturing what you have? And again, we have to kind of assume that you're being loved in return. See, that's we have to assume that for a minute in the conversation. So you and somebody else are in love. How do you preserve that, allowing it to breathe, allowing for the individuality, and also protect that place, you know, and have that respect for that place? That's not an easy task, everybody, when the world is
not at all.
So polluted.
Yeah, and it, you know, takes a lot of work. And honestly, you know, I, you know, don't have the answer to that at all. Not even close. In fact, I was hoping that I was going to be getting that from you this particular conversation. In reality, though, isn't it the same that it's always been? Regardless of whether it's today or it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, isn't it about not controlling somebody else, allowing them to be who they are, loving them for who they are, sharing life experiences?
Going through bad times as well as the good times.
Supporting one another.
Older folks that I have interviewed in my life, because I made a point, I have these questions in my world too, and I ask questions. So anyone, the people I've known who have exceeded 50 years of marriage, I have said, how do you remain married that long? Like, what is there? Oh, well, I'll tell you, the 50s were really rough. I didn't think we'd make it through the 50s, but we did. And I said, well, how did you make it through the 50s? How did you get through that decade? And the answer, ultimately, is the same from everybody I've talked to. Well, I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. See, they don't look somewhere else to get what they need.
Yeah.
And that was a huge, you know, light bulb for me, is the minute you're feeling like your life isn't good, things are kind of caving, and you feel like you're not being nurtured or you're not being looked at, all those things that go on in your world, it's to be at peace with that, to ride that out, to feel that for a moment, and stay on your own train. Don't look for a different train to make you feel better because you have a temporary need. So they would see it for the long haul. And that's huge, I think.
It is. It is. And understanding, you know, why you're in the relationship and really it's... You have to be able to have a healthy relationship with yourself as well if you're going to have a healthy relationship with somebody else. Mm-hmm. You have to know why are you getting into this, you know. And you know, a little bit of ethics comes into it, of course, because you have a duty to be an active participant in a partnership, and you can't lead somebody on. You can't, you know, be there for convenience. You can't just drop them when something else comes along. That's not real. That's That's manipulation. That's using someone. Yeah. And that's cruel. So,
well, I think that if we can also look at a few things not to do, and we can look at the things to do. And part of that, I think, is don't look for somebody to be your entertainment.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
A good one.
Yep.
Don't look to somebody to make you feel better because you don't feel good about yourself today. And don't constantly dump your stuff on somebody else without thinking there won't be ramifications. You know, we can all be really honest and really open, but sometimes those secret little thoughts in your brain they're best left unsaid, you know, and because then now you're putting that on somebody else. So it's to build that security and that trust, and sometimes that takes a very long time. I have this formula for anybody who is out there looking to date and so on. I believe that you kind of know everything you need to know about somebody in the first 6 months. So what I mean by that first 6 months, anything, like even if it's a brush stroke of somebody getting mad because they spilled milk, that's a brush stroke of behavior. How they've treated a waitress that one time, but otherwise it was great, that's still a brush stroke of behavior. So it's just to watch those things, because it's all there. You can't say in hindsight 5 years later, well, I didn't know he was like that. Yeah, you did. You just didn't want to pay attention to it.
Yeah,
so
because...
I think it's in the second 6 months that we give opportunity to how we develop in a shared space. You know, it's because we are changed in many ways. You know, we're opening up, we're evolving within that first year. You've gone through the anniversaries, the birthdays, special occasions, all that, you know, all the very basics. And after that year, you know whether or not this is workable. Do you want to invest more time of your life into something that you know isn't going to go anywhere, or are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
See?
That's about what everybody's looking for. Some people want something that doesn't have a commitment. You know, they don't necessarily want that, and everybody can be comfortable in whatever suits them best, as long as both parties have healthy expectations and good communication. And... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to make a comment. Wendy says, until you move in with them, Dr. Vicky. Yeah.
Well, my comment was going to be that you can only hide the crazy for so long. So after a year,
exactly.
You know, your energy supply to hide that part of your behavior that you're trying to keep from a person is depleted. And whatever is there is just going to come out. And, you know, I completely agree. And that's, you know, across the board, you really don't know anybody when you've first met them, even, you know, how they come across. It takes time. And time is the key ingredient to an intimate relationship.
Yeah. Catherine says, don't look for someone to complete you. Look for someone to compliment you.
Oh, well, and very well said.
Very nicely said. And welcome, Catherine, a new one to our chat conversation. It's exactly right. How then do we evolve when somebody's complimenting our energy and the frequency is now better and greater, you see? So it's kind of how do you feel about yourself when you're with somebody? And what I mean by that is, do you feel comfortable? Do you feel safe? Do you feel confident? Can you be yourself? Or are you kind of watching what you say, watching what you do, and, you know, kind of insecure that way? Because that's not a good sign. You know, and maybe you have some issues you need to look at. But I think that it's very difficult in this day and age as opposed to in previous decades, Michael, because that's my age showing, is so much is done through texting and email and messaging and
this is true.
FaceTime. And there is no intimacy, emotional intimacy, when it comes to, you know, acronyms and short texts and funny faces and dumbness.
Well,
you know, it
can't be the entirety of your relationship, but you can have, you know, meaningful exchanges of communication via text. It is very possible, but I mean, that just can't be your only way, but, you know,
I think in the dating game, that's a real tough one. I mean, you feel like you're really special to somebody if they've texted you four times that day, but it's only because they were bored at work and had nothing better to do, because then you don't hear from them for 5 days. And I hear this from clients all the time.
Think of it as a shortened and accelerated form of writing, you know, love letters. Right? So it's human beings, as long as there has been written language to the masses, human beings have been using that written language to, you know, form intimate bonds. And people have fallen in love through writing letters to one another.
That's true. I bet not many people do that anymore.
They're short letters, and there's a lot more of them.
Yeah, I know. I think that in watching, I have three married children, all of whom have been married over 10 years. I can especially speak for my daughters, married to men who are on the same wave. You know, it's kind of like we got married for a reason, but they were a little older as they got married. So they weren't young. Mm-hmm. They knew who they were, kind of knew what they wanted. And they it's not to say they haven't worked through some dark times, but they work through that. And I know I had a young woman just about 3 weeks ago, and very in love with this guy, but she worried that he lies. You know, she can get past the, you know, he doesn't want to be monogamous. And I said, whoa, stop there. What do you mean? Well, my experience is most men are like that. And I said, I'm going to correct you on that. That's not true. That may be in the culture of men that you're running with, but that's just not true. She said, well, I just don't like the lying. I said, and I don't like the fact that you accept his terms of agreement when it wouldn't necessarily be something you would want for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I promised her, I said, if you can hang in, this is my intuition, hang in there for a couple of years, you're going to meet somebody who's going to adore you and wouldn't even consider looking out the back door at anybody. So, you know, it's tough when you have these social blinders on and things that people expect, and we think all people are bad or all people are this, and you have to set up your own boundaries of what you want, and then you gravitate like magnets to each other. And then some people have to evolve into that and say, you know, no, I am committed here and this is where I want to be. And I know, and I told her, I said, my sons-in-law wouldn't even be a thought to look somewhere else and break that bond of trust, you know, and to break what they have. No, it wouldn't happen. Yeah. And I intuitively know that. But it's, Wendy is saying she has, they have window crayons that they keep in the bathroom, write little notes when we're working different shifts and don't get to see each other much. That's awesome. Those are the little things you can do to nurture each other and know, you know, and help. Well, that's find your own little quirky things that are just between the two of you.
Oh, yeah. See, nothing like an inside joke.
Well, and nobody else is going to know that individual like you do. Nobody's going to know you like they do. That's your special sacred place. And I think that, to me, is the key to nurturing that intimate relationship and making it go the distance.
Very well said.
That's what I think.
Well, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's that. It's the time, the shared experience, the fact that they, just like you said, there's nobody that's going to know you as well and nobody that you know as well. So
I agree.
So that's what
I
makes
hope
it.
That maybe some folks got, you know, something out of this conversation. I really appreciate this conversation, and I have it with clients all the time, so it's pretty familiar to me. But you know, look, I'm of the mind. I guess somebody told me that I was a feminist before feminism was even a word, like back in the Gloria Steinem days, I guess. I don't understand why I can't do what a man does. I don't understand why I can't be regarded like a man is. In a lot of ways. I don't understand why I can't get paid the same as a man if I'm doing the same job. And I also don't understand in relationships how I would be the one expected to decide what's for supper. You know, like, whoa, that's slipping into a role playing. I'm happy to do the cooking at times, but My last relationship was one that went kind of like this. I said, what do you feel like having for supper tonight? He said, oh, I don't care. I said, oh, all right then. A couple of hours later, he says, so what's for supper? I said, you said you didn't care, so I had a sandwich. See?
Yeah.
That's me. That's me.
Well, I think, you know, every healthy relationship has to have shared responsibilities. You can't have one person. Nobody should want a servant.
It's called participate.
Exactly. And, you know, sure. And you can have different kinds of relationships. Maybe one person likes cooking. Maybe the other doesn't. Maybe neither person likes cooking, and you have to kind of fight over who has to cook that night. But you have to share the responsibility of it. And if somebody does one thing, you do the other. Another area, perhaps the dishes as a complimentary example, you chip in. You put the work in. You put the time in. That's the only way that it's going to happen. It doesn't happen on its own. So, great points.
My second daughter does the cooking because her husband doesn't cook. He said, I never will. I don't cook. And if you don't feel like cooking, that's okay with me. I'm going to get a pizza. And that's their way. But he does all the dishes.
There you go.
Cook, I'll clean up. I got no problem with that, but I don't cook. So, and lots of times she says, I don't feel like cooking tonight. He says, no problem. Get a burger. You see, and it really works for them. The other one with kids, he loves cooking. You know, that's a good thing because that's the daughter that doesn't like to cook. No problem.
You got complementary skill sets.
Exactly.
Another great example of just because one person likes to cook and the other hates cooking does not mean they're opposites.
Please. Well, let's get on with some pulling some cards for tonight, shall we, Michael? It's been a fun conversation.
It has. It has been a fun conversation, and I've appreciated going over these, you know, these topics with you, and I've loved getting the feedback from the people that we have in chat, and some really wonderful stories there, so thank you. So, all right, so for our cards tonight, of course, we're going to pull one from our inner oracle deck that we have here, and Dr. Hunter, you'll be pulling a tarot, and we have Jamil up first, and let's see. All right, Jamil, I have number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof. Hope that connects with you, Jamil.
Well, and in support of that with the tarot, Jamil, is a major arcana card, the Hermit. Now, how I see that is... in relation to meaning and purpose, is there might be something here that's requiring some introspection, a review. You might be changing your mind about a few things, but as Michael said, it could be about a thing, not necessarily you and your life and purpose for your life. It could be a situation that you're kind of reviewing, in review of. You might have handled these things a certain way in your life before, and now it's saying, I think I need to handle this differently. So that kind of what the Hermit is kind of going inside looking for a little wisdom. So, and that's fair enough to do. Hope that makes sense. I think Ronnie is up next, Michael.
All right. And Ronnie, I have number 11, awareness. All right. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, in support of that, Ronnie, is the Ace of Spades. Now, what I really like about this, your increased awareness and perseverance, because, you know, the Ace of Spades is success through meeting the challenge or overcoming a challenge. So increase your awareness, persevere, keep it up without hurting your head or banging your head against a wall. But it's like you will achieve things even though you feel like, ooh, this can be a little bit uncomfortable. This is new for me. I'm not sure about it. It's saying just keep going because success is assured. So that's actually, to me, a really good sign for you of something that's going on.
All right. Very positive message for Ronnie. I love to hear it.
Yeah.
All right. We have our card keeper, Wendy, up next. And Wendy, let's see. I'm focusing in. And I have wild card number 2 and then some. All right. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is required and go beyond what is... Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. And by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Well, in support of that, I got the moon. So, the and then some with the moon means there might be a point to stop giving the and then some. And the reason I'm saying that is the moon is about secrets, things hidden, intuition. There's something underneath. So if you feel like you've been and then some a little too much, just stop for a second, breathe, put your feelers up. See if the, you know, what it is that current underneath to know how much of then some you should give. So I know that's a completely different take, Michael.
That's very interesting. Well, it's about balance, isn't it?
Yeah, the balance, and that's just the spin of it on that, because the moon wants to tell us things we're not seeing that's obvious. You know, that there's some other, like, undercurrent frequency energy, something going on. So just kind of knowing when to pause before you keep going and then some.
All right.
Wendy says my whole day has been about that. There you go. Thanks for the feedback, Wendy. All right, we have Dr. Jeff up next.
All right, Dr. Jeff. I have number 28, do no harm, do right. I kind of chuckled. And then some came up again as I was randomly shuffling through, but we just went through that one. So we'll kind of pair it with that a little bit. But
all right.
All right, number 28, do no harm, do right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to self and others. Doing right means also to take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will of others. Always strive for the highest good for all all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles. So... good card.
I got the Hierophant in support of that, Jeff, which is, you know, the Hierophant is a little bit in a word. It's about conformity, routine, stability, you know, wanting that stability, wanting to feel safe, that, you know, the flow of your life and your home. And so it's saying do no harm, do right. It's just maintaining that stability, I think, in your life and knowing what's required. Even if others around you aren't necessarily complying, you know what's best for you and how your life flows. So it's maybe just taking a bit of a review of that. And I think really the do no harm, do right is more toward yourself more than it is toward others. Of course, don't expect expect things of others that maybe they're not willing or ready to give. That's not necessarily, we know that. But this is about for you and what you require in, you know, going through your days and your weeks and nurturing yourself. So, hope that makes sense, Jeff.
All right. And we have Monica up next.
Nice to have you here, Monica.
Monica, I pulled number 41, communication. Critical for an intimate relationship. Let's see.
It is.
The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Monica, I just, as Michael was saying that, I had a flash of you up in front of a group of people talking. I don't know if you're making a presentation, you're training a group or something, but you're communicating a message to this audience. I don't even, there's a few people there anyway in this picture in my head. And in support of that, I have the chariot. Now, that's saying you've got a good handle on the balance of things. Think of the charioteer who's got negative and positive in each hand, and, you know, the reins in both hands going forward, driving the cart. And so it's in your presentation that makes the difference. And somehow, I'm going to say this out loud, again, it's my intuition here, is something's clicked for you about how to present yourself and how to sell that idea or get that idea across. Now, I think in your personal life, you're learning that too, but this is something else that I got a feeling of in work, work-related perhaps. So I think you're on to something new, and I think you've got it. Good. Hope that makes sense. So. All right, you all there, right. Michael?
How are we doing? Not muted. You're muted. I'm not the one that's muted.
No, there we go. I think Ronaldo is next.
I believe we have Dr. Kevin. And Dr. Kevin was looking for a romantic card.
Oh, Kevin.
All right, so I hope this fits the bill. But we have, number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. Let's see, how would that tie into romance? I would think that living up to your true potential and embodying that power of the human spirit makes you a better individual, more healthy, more confident. That's going to lead to a better romance.
Well, and two cards flipped out, Kevin, so I'm going to go with this. The Nine of Clubs and the Four of Diamonds. And I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to go way out on a limb. You might have a little wall up, you know, that... Yeah, you want to meet somebody, but it kind of maybe a little bit on your terms. And I'm not being critical here. I'm just, it's an observation that, you know, you're building your own security. You're building your own life. And, you know, it's like you maybe don't want that messed with too much. And so that resilience in you of that opening up, as Michael said, that indomitable power of the human spirit also has to be balanced with, you know, the fundamentals to life and our psychology and our ways of thinking. So I'm thinking maybe something needs to be just in review a little bit and be open. And then everything shifts and changes. So I hope that's okay to say to you. All right, Michael.
All right, so I think we have Ronaldo next. I think that's our last card of the evening. So if we haven't gotten to you yet, throw your name up. We'll make sure we get you one before we wrap up. And Ronaldo, I have number 34, take and release ownership. All right, let's see. Take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
You know, Ronaldo, I didn't quite understand this at first. I pulled the Queen of Pentacles, Queen of Diamonds. And I thought, well, okay, this is about a relationship in some way, about the fairness, equitability, the sharing of it. And at least I was going that way. And so then I pulled another one to see, okay, really, what? Tell me a story here. And I got the Five of Hearts, which is the Five of Cups. So it might be that you're, you know, reviewing some stability in the relationship or contributions in the relationship, kind of the fairness and equitability and kind of negotiating your way in a relationship about who is contributing what, how can you help each other, kind of in that way. So it's who owns what. It's not about the things in it so much as it is perhaps the emotional contributions. So I think there's just a bit of a review there, and allowing that kind of the wind to blow between you while you're connected. So again, you know, out on a limb here saying I hope that makes sense. And it, look, I think it's a good feeling on my end, but, you know, it doesn't always feel good when you're in those conversations with somebody. So.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
And we do have one last card for this evening. It's okay. Going to be Catherine.
Hey, Catherine. Nice to see you.
And Catherine, I have number 44, attitude and disposition.
Okay.
Let's see. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude can make it happen.
Wow, this is really interesting, Catherine. Attitude and disposition with the King of Clubs supporting that energy. And I said, okay, this is about a man. So I turned another one. It was the Queen of Clubs. So attitude and disposition, provided you're in a relationship now, I'd say that, you know, people are kind of reviewing, having conversations about kind of what we've been talking about through the whole program tonight. So having those, I do see a really strong spiritual connection. Being you're both clubs, you both come up as clubs. The odds of that happening, I think there's 78 cards, and what are the odds of that happening? So there's a really strong spiritual connection, but just because we feel like we're soulmates with somebody doesn't necessarily mean we can act it out in daily life on earth in this incarnation. So just keep that in mind. So it's you figuring that out. Now, if you're not in a relationship, I'm going to say here that there's some energy around you, somebody around you who there's hearts flying around. So there's a relationship within an arm's reach is what I'm feeling is so close to you. So just keeping that attitude, disposition, communication open. And, you know, look, I'm going to be blunt. I have seen people who are soulmates and one's an alcoholic and this is not going to work, right? So it's if people have different quirks, it doesn't even have to be something that's detrimental. But we have to look at how all these parts of ourselves balance out to being able to work into a good partnership and how you can be a team as you're going through life together. And that's what I'm a big advocate of. So, she said, interesting and true. She's not in a relationship and not looking. Well, you don't have to be looking for it to happen.
So, that's very true.
You know, that you is. Can, like, walk through a door and there it is.
That is one cliche that often does come true, isn't it? Seems yep. like we find something when we're not even looking for it.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, Catherine, there's something in the cosmic brewing around you. So, you know, pay attention. And you have free will. If you don't want it, it's right there in front of you. You don't have to have it. That's free will. I am one to say, when you have that opportunity to share your love and your life with somebody in a really good way, then we got an issue if we walk away from that. So keep that in mind.
Very well said.
Probably have a whole bunch of issues, to be honest.
Well, I know I do, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, it's not you. Well, I am so glad for this conversation tonight. I know we've gone over our time, but it's been a lot of fun, and it's been interesting. So,
well, and we've solved yet another mystery about human existence, definitively. So, you know, you can come back and listen to this if you ever need to get the pointers again. But, but no, it's been an excellent discussion. And as we kind of wrap up for tonight, any last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
No, but we'll have something real brilliant for you next week, I'm sure. Michael's going to think of something.
Oh, I think, Dr. Hunter, you're the genius here. Come on now. But no, it has been a great conversation. And, you know, there are just some core things to what really propagates a healthy, intimate relationship and the ability to cultivate that. And it's putting the work in. Putting the work in and understanding the ability to be on the same wavelength, picking up on the right frequencies and being compatible. So, a great discussion tonight. Really looking forward to having you all join us next week. Having you in the live chat adds a dynamic element to our conversations. I, you know, couldn't imagine it without it. So thank you all for joining us each and every week, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.